Welcome to the March edition of Palms and Paws Plus. This is Dr. Kevin McEvely, joined as always by Greta Rose. Greta Rose, how are you feeling about March Madness?
Well, I wish that I like knew a little bit more about the game. I'm going to show my lack of knowledge of basketball here really quickly, but I think March Madness is really cool, especially the concept of like we've been stuck inside. It's cold here on the East Coast and I'm looking out, I'm seeing grass for the first time. I'm very happy.
The energy around March Madness is incredible. We've got the upsets, the drama, the excitement. It's all incredible, and it's so fun seeing how excited people get about this. And I just like play in general. And this is a month where I know you and I spoke about this a little bit, but March Madness, if you're an athlete playing basketball, amazing. We're rooting for you. But for the rest of us normal folks who watch a few games on TV, if we're lucky, and our greatest joy is not from competition, but from play with our pets,
Oh,
we want to
yeah.
dive in and explore play a little bit more. It's not, I mean, playing fetch, I mean, it's not just a ball, but watching a dog like chase after their favorite stuffed animal and then throw it up in the air like as high as they can, wait for it to fall just enough for them to jump up again, grab it, and just shake it like a rag doll. It is just it's hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious. And it's a reminder that we can find joy in the simple things too.
Right.
Yeah.
So
And we've been focusing on dogs, but I mean, cats love to play too.
I was
And
gonna say, yeah, exactly. Like cats gotta get in the mix here.
Link, admittedly, has a giant it's a string bean, and he loves to just bunny kick that little thing.
There have been a couple of questions that have come through about positive, good, playful energy. In this episode, we have an expert.
Yeah. Now, Michael Chill, we get into the question if that was his God-given name or not. So I will save that for the actual segment. But in today's episode, you're gonna get to hear him explore the art of play.
And before we get to Michael Chill, drum roll, basketball roll, basketball dribble, you had an incredible conversation with one of the legends that live there in LA, NBA player Baron Davis.
Baron Davis is an icon. This guy is a two-time NBA All-Star. He is a champion, and that is just on the court. Off of the court, he is a family man. He loves his pets, and he's adapting to having a big dog and a new little cat at home with his family. And we had an opportunity to talk a little bit about that journey, his favorite play activities with his dog, getting used to a cat in the environment. And we also got to chat a little bit about how he has transitioned from being this incredible athlete to this entrepreneur and visionary. And it is so inspiring getting to talk to him and hear about how he's transformed the passion of basketball into this position of leadership in the community, and how he plans to pave the way for the people that are coming after him with complete respect and appreciation for the fact that others did that before him and allowed him to get to where he's at now. So I am thrilled about this relationship. I'm thrilled that we had this opportunity, and I'm also grateful that he was so generous with his time. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Baron Davis, thrilled to be sitting here with you, man. Two-time NBA All-Star champion, and it's a little rainy out, so we had our West Side fogs from the compound here. We've got March Madness coming up. We thought it'd be fun for our community to do a little March Madness for pet lovers. And so you've got a pet at home.
I do.
You want to tell us about him?
Jones?
That's my guy. In terms of play, what's your favorite way to play with Jones?
Basketball and throwing the football. So, you know, Jones is kind of like our safety.
Okay.
Our defensive specialist with the kids. So as they dribble through the cones, then I got Jones, then I let Jones go. And then they got to beat Jones to the basket and score a bucket. Or he going to slobber the ball up and they have to do it again. Or in football, sometimes they got to play defense on Jones.
Oh, man. Okay, so.
You know, we like make the ball slide. He has his own football. So when we play with Jones, you know, it's either he's playing DB or he's my wide receiver.
Okay. I admire what you've done on the court. You are a family man. And as we were driving over here, I was thinking about the fact that you achieved like your dream. Your dream was to be in the NBA. I feel like you're farther down the road than I am, but my dream is to help the dreams of others become a reality. We operate based off of an others-oriented mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's kind of like baked in our DNA as basketball players. You receive the torch and you pass the torch. You honor what's before you and understand you're standing on the shoulders of giants. And then you also understand that you're an example of who's watching and what's next to come. So as a steward to, you know, an ambassador to this game of basketball, you know, and been able to make it, you know, to the highest level, you still have to be, you know, accessible, right, in who you are to the greater community. So, you know, basketball is all about a us mentality, right?
How do you tap into that now? How do you find your edge? I mean, you've tasted the pinnacle, the apex in the NBA multiple times. A lot of people don't get, I mean, I've gone to a game, you know, gone to a few, but that's something I'll never experience. When you reach that crescendo, like that has to be something that you're chasing again, you know? So how do you find that edge as you're stepping into, you know, or stepping forward towards collaboration, entrepreneurship, creating systems of success for the next generation?
Yeah, I think one, you have to first like not chase that, right? Because you can't play anymore, right? And like, you'll never be able to do that again, no matter what you do in any other capacity. Mm-hmm. So like, that feeling is that feeling you own, you accept it and remember it, honor it, think about it as much as you can. I think what you get from that is there's another mountain to climb.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know what that is, or you don't know what that feels like. But you shouldn't chase like
that same feeling.
Yeah, because that feeling is like it can't be duplicated.
Yeah.
Because I can't like elbow you at work or like bump chest and you know what I mean and get it. Like, the people think I would be crazy. You know, they think I'd be crazy. Like if I was at Palms and Paws and like you came out the room and I was like, yes. High five. Let's go.
You know what?
Like people would be like, something is wrong with this dude.
You should see me in the doctor's office. When I get a case that looked really grim, a cancer that was horrible, and we get clean margins and we're able to get this animal another 2, 3, 4, 5 years of life, I will scream yes at the top of my lungs. I will scare the other doctors.
You would scare me.
Well, do you have any questions for me? You know, I want to make myself available to you. You know, do you have any questions about dogs or cats?
What is the best way to like get dogs and cats to like acclimate in the same environment? Or like what is the process or the roadmap for that?
Yeah, so slow introductions, making sure that there's plenty of resources so that one animal doesn't feel like they need to protect any scarcity, and then making sure that there's a safe place for this cat to escape to if there is that prey drive. You know, we want to make sure it's really controlled. You know, a big dog and a tiny cat, you know, one altercation can be deadly.
Yeah.
And so doing interactions very slowly in a controlled fashion, if there are kids around or other people, making sure that their energies are nice and calm, people aren't screaming or squealing. And those are the first things that I recommend. And then having treats or something enticing to reward the good behavior. You know, if Jones comes up, gives Petey a little sniff or even a little lick, and then looks at you to see how you're going to respond, that's where you give a treat, you give positive reinforcement, and then maybe you pick up the ball and you go play. You know, so short little interactions with that. Anytime they have a positive interaction, treat, verbal praise, and then a reward. So those are the little things. And then you can always reach out to me. There are some supplements that can be really helpful to help temper a little bit of anxiety. So if both of them are feeling a little bit of anxiety, we can use these supplements that are over the counter to help temper that a little bit. And there are even plugins that you can plug into the wall that release synthetic pheromones to produce calming environments for dogs and cats. So all the above, I would recommend starting or implementing. And then, yeah, taking it day by day. That's it.
Yeah.
Of course. All right. Thank you, Baron.
Thank you, Ross. Thank
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Now, before we get to this next little chapter, quick question. Did you feel short around him?
I'll be honest. Yes.
How tall are you?
You're
6'5".
Yeah. I felt like I was 4 feet tall standing next to this guy. Not just because of his height, but his presence is just astounding.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I mean, that his energy is, it's beautiful.
You know, I thought it was striking that in different ways, we both got to achieve our dreams. I wanted to be a veterinarian. He wanted to be an all-star NBA player. And I wanted to ask him, you know, once that dream is realized, I'm a vet every day and there's no championship for being a vet. You know, you get to be a vet and then you get to keep being a vet until someday that changes, you know? So I'm living the dream, taking care of people and pets all day. There's no better job in the world for me, but I wanted to find out for somebody who gets to the pinnacle, what does that feel like? How does the dream change when that dream is achieved? And his answer was really cool.
Okay, so in your conversation with Baron, and you're giving him a great tip, and you happen to mention Michael Chill, who we talked about a little bit earlier in this episode. So this would be a great, great opportunity to bring Michael Chill into the equation. How do we know him, and what does he have to say about Fetch?
Michael Chill is an incredible resource for the community. He's a friend of Palms and Paws Veterinary Center. He's a friend of mine, and I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to spend a little time with him talking about all things play. And he actually gave some really practical tips on how we can encourage play while also maximizing obedience, reducing anxiety, and undesirable behaviors. Michael Chill, dog trainer extraordinaire. You take care of half of our patients, half of our town. So grateful you're joining us today on the Palms and Paws podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you so much for asking me to be here. I've got nothing but respect for you and your hospital, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
You're incredible. It's a privilege to be getting this time with you. And the first question I have for you before we dive in to the Fetch do's and don'ts, I want to ask, is Michael Chill, is that your real name?
That is my real name. I got it from my father, who got it from his father.
That is, you were born to do this. You were born to share the chill with
and by the way, that's not the first time I've been asked that question. Everyone assumes, especially in this town, you must have changed it to that.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I have to say, I've been referring patients to you for years, and I've always wanted to ask you that. So I'm grateful that we get to reveal the answer on our podcast. Well, we've got some questions for you, if that's okay.
Absolutely. That's why I'm here.
The fetch do's and don'ts. We want to play, we want to encourage that positive reinforcement, that positive bond with our pets. And did dogs know how to play fetch when they're born?
Most of them to a point. Now, I realize that the game of fetch is based on what's known as prey drive. And prey drive is the instinctive desire to chase things. If they were wild animals or back in their heritage when they were wild canines, that desire to chase things is instinctive. It would be honed and turned into hunting behavior, which ends up in eating. So, yes, it is instinctive in most of our puppies from birth.
So it just requires a little bit of fine-tuning.
It requires a little bit of fine tuning, but much like people, certain breeds, certain individual dogs have strengths in maybe other areas. But yes, it is instinctive in most of our canines and most of our predators as opposed to our herbivores.
Well, what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're teaching how to play fetch?
Well, the biggest mistake people do in teaching their dogs to play fetch is they start in the middle. They throw something expecting their dogs to chase the object, which most of them will, but they haven't a clue on how to bring it back or that that's part of the game. So you have to train it correctly, and you're going to have a much more successful and a much quicker road to having a dog learn how to play fetch.
Is every dog in general built for fetch? I mean, between, a Malinois and a Maltese, are they both equal, Michael Chill?
No. There are instinctive drives, breed characteristics, your Malinois, your herding breeds, your retrievers. These are dogs whose specialized breeding has made them really excellent at the game of fetch. You look at a Maltese who will play fetch, but they do it more as, yeah, maybe not. You throw something for a chow and they'll look at it and look at you and say, well, one of us better go pick that up, but they have no desire to really actively chase. So, yes, your breed does have a bearing on whether it's just going to be kind of a fun thing to play occasionally or an actual vocation for your dog.
And if we want to build that connection through play, how do we build connection instead of chaos through the art of the fetch?
Well, you have to teach them the intention of fetch. It's more than just chasing and grabbing. So you start at the end of the behavior. So if I have a puppy who is inclined to play the game, and he is, I said, your herding breed, your retrievers, I will have two balls and I'll give them one ball, just hand it to them, and they'll hopefully take the ball, or I'll encourage them to take the ball. I'll show them the second ball. And then they will typically, over a couple of tries, drop what's in their mouth, and I'll give them the second one, pick up the first. So I start with that process of having something in their mouths and dropping it in front of me. Once that is honed and the dog does that well, I'll begin to take the ball and toss it behind their head. So they have to turn around and pick up the ball and return it to me and drop it. And then I just progressively go farther and farther away until the dog does this as a matter of course. So I start at the end of the game of fetch, not in the beginning of throwing the ball.
Great. That's great advice. I'm actually my next dog. I'm going to be doing that. I was definitely a middler. I was starting in the
Okay.
middle. Are there circumstances where we shouldn't play fetch? And this is something where a lot of my clients, they will try to distract a dog that might be misbehaving or that might be a little mouthy, for example, with a game of fetch. Are there scenarios where we should not be encouraging fetch with our pets?
Absolutely. First off, you don't use fetch as a distraction for a bad behavior because it could turn into a reward for the bad behavior. Number one. Number two, unless you have dogs who actively live together, fetch is not a very good game to play in groups. I discourage my clients from bringing either a frisbee or a tennis ball to a dog park because that encourages competition amongst unfamiliar dogs, and that's not necessarily a good thing either. So fetch is something that's wonderful, but can be either misapplied or misused and cause larger problems down the road.
That's great advice. Thank you. I guess my last question is, Do you have a surprising fetch fail that you've seen, or a fetch fail that you've learned from, and you now work that into part of your training models?
Well, there are lots of different ways that fetch can fail. Some of them are rather humorous, some of them are almost tragic, and some of them are just really bad ways of playing the game of fetch. So let's start with the bad ways of playing the game of fetch. When fetch turns into a dog saying, "Chase me," that is behaviorally unhealthy and not a good thing to do. When the dog returns the fetch item but won't let it go, and it turns into a game of tug of war, that also is not a good thing to do. As far as the other fails are concerned, yes, I did have a client playing fetch with her dog, and he went into the bushes and he brought back a live garter snake rather
Oh
than the
my
ball that
gosh.
was tossed. That surprised her a lot. And there are other things where our dogs have gone to fetch something and brought back, half of a dead squirrel or things like
Oh
that,
my
which is not
gosh.
necessarily what people are expecting when they're playing the game of fetch.
We started and we are ending with the idea of prey drive. But yeah, poor snake, poor squirrel, and poor owner that had to see that firsthand. Well, Michael Chill, so grateful that you joined us today. And I know you are so incredibly busy, but if people want to connect with you or they want to schedule a consultation with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
My website is asdogtraining.com. That's initial A as in animal, initial S as in services. So asdogtraining.com. A faster way is Mike Chill, all one word, MikeChill.com. They can look at my number there. They can email me there, and I'm happy to help.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much, Michael Chill. We will see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I've learned a lot in this episode. I feel like I need to go outside. You know what? I have a basketball court in my driveway. I'm gonna go grab a ball right now and shoot some hoops.
I'm going to let Baron know. He's going to be really pleased. And I hope you're all pleased that you waited to the end of this episode to learn that Michael Chill is actually named Michael Chill. That is the real name. And it's something that I am so excited about. I've been waiting for years to ask him that. So I'm glad that I finally started a podcast so we could get to the bottom of this. Greta Rose, enjoy the play. Make it a beautiful day. And to all of our listeners out there, we love you. Play
We
nice.
absolutely do. Play nice, play nice, play hard, play good, play, just play.
We'll catch you next month.
See y'all.